All right, so today we're going to work on Sega Dreamcast. They call it the GD-ROM. Is that what it is? I can't hold on. It's called, yeah, the GD-ROM, Gigabyte Disk ROM. It's not a CD-ROM. It's a gigabyte disk ROM, which includes a combination of hardware and software. So we're going to look at the kind of code format process of it. The GD-ROMs, proprietary disk, will store up to 1.2 gigabytes of data, 1.2 gigabytes of data, which is more than the 700 megabytes on a CD. So the gigabyte, yeah, I guess that would make sense, gigabyte disk ROM. So it is a GD-ROM. I always call it CD-ROM, but it's a GD-ROM. Session 1, these disks contain two sessions on them. The first session contains standard CD-ROM format, and the second session contains the actual game data in a high-density track, which is not accessible by regular CD drives. Huh. So that's something. Just learned something new right there. So it runs out of two different things. When the Dreamcast starts, the BIOS checks for the GD-ROM. It verifies the header boot, and then it processes it. Security ring. GD-ROMs include a security ring, a physical feature on the disk not present on standard CDs. So there's a ring on there as well. Dreamcast laser assembly reads the ring to identify it's authentic. Once the GD-ROM is validated, the system loads the game's executable. The loader includes additional checks, homebrewed, and backup workarounds. Despite the protections, copies were eventually bypassed due to vulnerabilities. The MIL CD exploit. Some Dreamcast consoles supported a multimedia format called MIL CD for playing audio and video. The hackers discovered that the MIL CD format could be exploited to bypass security checks. The exploit enabled to burn Dreamcast games onto standard CD-ROMs. Though some limitations, the smaller size compared to a GD-ROM. I didn't realize that they're not the same kind of disks as a CD. Modified bootloaders were created to make backup disks self-bootable by emulating the CD-ROM boot process. I think I have some disks that do that. I gotta go find that. There's three disks that I have that I came across that have all the games on them. Well, at least a lot of them anyway. Modern solutions is the GDEMU. Or mode, multitask disk emulator to bypass the GD-ROM. You use the SD cards, and then there's one you plug in the back. So what's the game library of Dreamcast? It must have been a lot, but it wasn't out that long though. I believe it was a short run for Dreamcast. I want to say maybe 60 games. Let's see. And so it says device, diverse mix, arcade, third parties. Though its lifespan was short, as I said, is game is beloved by fans. So Sonic Adventure, Shenmue, Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, Phantasy Star Online, which I think you can still go online and do that, I think. I'm not positive. Sega Rally 2. Skies of Arcadia and Virtual Tennis. Third party hits was Resident Evil Veronica, Soul Calibur, Dead 2, Power Grando, Seaman, Bizarre but Intriguing Virtual Pet Simulation featured a fish with a human face created by Leonard Nimoy in the Western release. Seaman. That's really strange. House of the Dead 2, Crazy Taxi, nearly perfect port of the arcade classic. Regional specific in Japan, Sakura Wars, El Dorado Gate series, Nappa Tail, a charming 3D platform. Euro exclusive titles, Headhunter, third person action adventure that gained popularity in Europe. Headhunter. Homebrewed and Indian games. Rush Rush Rally Racing and Exodia. Oh, so there's 620 games. Wow, way off. I had said North America there was 250. Japan there was 460. Okay, that makes more sense. In Europe there's 200. So let's go look at some rare games. Let's see if we have some rare games. So right now we're doing Sega Dreamcast, and then we'll go on to, of course, the most popular ever, Sega GameCube. I mean, Nintendo GameCube. Sega GameCube. Cannon Spike High. It's included Mega Man and it was a Capcom. Project Justice 2000. Sequel to Rival Schools, a 3D fighting game. Skies of Arcadia. Power Stone 2. These are all rare games. Mars Matrix. Giga Wings 2. Rez. Some kind of shooter. Border Down. Sunumi 2. Ikarga. A lot of these I'm not saying right, but you get it. Illbleed. A quirky survival horror game with a bizarre sense of humor and unique mechanics. It was a commercial failure, but gained. So let's check that one out. Illbleed. I think that's survival horror I'm into. Of course, everybody is. Let's see what that one is. See what that one is. If I get one that catches my attention, I'll look. Let's find out. So that's called Illbleed. This was a Sega Dreamcast. But I do, I have a copy. Oop, but I have a copy of, I think, most of the games. I'll have to look up that one. Illbleed, $136. Yeah, it looks kind of weird. $205, $180, $170, $69. Illbleed, $200, $150, $700. So Illbleed. That's my. I always pick one game that's cool. Illbleed. So they're all in well. Even for Japan games, they're really. The waves $1,400 in that little case thingy. Some are $100. Cool. So that's Illbleed. Well, maybe at some point I'll look around for one of those. I do have a Japan Dreamcast. Dux 1.5 and Redux. Doc Matters. Shoot 'em up. Twinkles, Star Sprites, Cosmetic Smash. Alright, so. So we're gonna go to. It's Sega Dreamcast. Oh, I was gonna go backwards again. Let's look at. So we did Sega CD. About Sega Power Base. Cartridge. Code process. I forgot the Power Base. The Power Base was compatible to Mega Drive. It uses a Z-Log Z80 processor. Graphics, memory, let's see, mode selection, master system mode, when a master system game is detected. The Genesis has a mode switch, the power base converter, also that's the converter you put on top. It uses a Z80 processor. I think we've done this one, Z80. Compatible notes, master system games, most work perfect with power base converter. Masturbate cards and 3Ds. Light gun, expandable capabilities, mega system, mega cartridges, larger size, mega system. So let's go on to, we'll go to GameCube then. Then Nintendo, let's do, yeah, Nintendo GameCube disc. Code process. So they use the mini DVD format. That could hold up to 1.5 gigabytes on those little mini guys. Proprietary design. It was designed so that nobody could copy it. Use a unique coding method to make a disc incompatible with commercial DVD players. So you couldn't put it in a commercial. You can put it in a Wii, though. Right? You can put it in a Wii. Check for valid mini DVD authenticity check. So they used proprietary, known as the game disc, had a special region near the hub of the disc that contains a cryptid, it's called the burst cutting area, BCA. The BCA is etched into each one of the discs. So that's how they look for it. And the other ones were like PS1 was the wobble groove, and there was, yeah, I think Wobble Groove was on a couple different ones. So, game code execution. The IBM PowerPC Gecko CPU generated the game code, while the ATI Flipper GPU handles graphic rendering. So, proprietary disks. The use of mini disks made it harder to copy. The disc had those etchings on them. Decryption keys are stored in the GameCube's firmware. Modding and workarounds. Despite the Nintendo's efforts, there's always a way around stuff. Soft modding. Exploits like the Phantasy Star Online exploit allows users to run unsigned code by leveraging network features. Mod chips. What did they call that? The Peekaboo? Pika something? I have one of those. I just haven't finished it. Programs like Swiss enable users to run games and applications. Optical drive emulators. The GC loader replaces the drive. Region lock. Japan, PAL, or US. Backwards compatible. It's not backwards compatible to any earlier Nintendo systems. GameCube could only play GameCube. However, if you had a Wii, you could play GameCube. What's a game library for a GameCube? Let's see, what is the game library for the Cube? Had to be. I want to say 1500. It had a rich and diverse game library. Smash Brothers, Legend of Zelda, Wind Walker, I never really played that. Metroid Prime, Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossings, Mario. Memorable third parties was Resident Evil 4, Eternal Darkness, Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes, Tales of Symphony, Star Wars, Soul Calibur 2, Beautiful Joe. Multiplayers. They had multiplayers, huh? Smash Brothers. WarioWare. Mario Kart Double Dash. Had some unconventional and experimental games. Chi-Chi Robot. Koochie Survival of the Fittest. Odama. I had that one. Odama. A pinball reality game hybrid set in Japan. I remember being a pinball. Other popular ones were Simpsons, Beyond Good and Evil, Need for Speed. Japanese only had Dashin the Giant and Nintendo Puzzle Collection. So it was only 650 to 700 games. North America, we had 550 games. Japan, 450. In Europe, there was 400. Rare and collectible ones. Fire Album, Emblem. Patience of Radiance. Pokemon Box. Ruby and Sapphire. Go-Go Hyper Glide. Disney. So let's see. Rare GameCube. Rare Cube. Games. It did give me some. It'll give me a couple more. Alright, so Fire Emblem was the very rare. Pokemon Box, Ruby, and Sapphire. We did that one. Gotcha Force. It was a Capcom game. Interesting. Survival of the Fittest. Cheapai Ruba. Small robot clean the house. Cult classics. Skies of Arcadia Legends. Resident Evil. Code Veronica X. Pure Evil. 2-pack. Limited. Basketball. Go-Go. High Grid. Pokemon XD. Glaze. Glaze of Darkness. Mario 7 with the microphone bundle. Phantasy Star episodes 1 and 2. Tales of Symphony, the collector's edition. What speed is the cube disc running at. Let's see what the disc is running on for the GameCube as opposed to another CD. So the Nintendo GameCube and the Mini DV spin at a constant speed thanks to the constant angular velocity CAV method. That has a certain method it uses, that's what I figured. Rotation speed of 5.4 times. In CD-ROM terms, 1 times is 150 kilobytes per second. So 5.4 comes out to 3.24 megabytes per second. The speed is optimized by reading data from the smaller 8-inch disk while maintaining reliability and avoiding excessive noise. The constant angular velocity CAV, unlike a constant linear velocity CLV, where the disc slows down as the laser moves towards the edge. The GameCube uses CAV. Disc spins at a constant rate regardless of the position of the laser.
Oh,
yeah, try it. I've noticed that the spindle never goes any faster. This simplifies drive mechanics and ensures a steady data transfer rate. Comparison. So, GameCube and other consoles. PS2 standard ROM runs 4 times, approximately 5.28 megabytes per second. The Microsoft Xbox was 5 times and 6.75 megabytes per second. While the GameCube was 5.4 times speed. Much slower than the Xbox drive and smaller. Optimized game loading. It says Nintendo offset potential limitations of the disk speed. So these are offset limitations. Games use custom compressed methods to minimize file sizes. Stream data. Many games stream data efficiently to reduce load time, taking advantage of the steady data stream. Disk access patterns. The small disk size reduced seek times for the laser. It didn't have to move as far up and back. So that's pretty interesting. And what's the Dreamcast? Dreamcast disk speed. It's because it's a different disk. Let's see what that is. It's a GD-ROM, right? And we decided that the GD-ROM now is... Oh, so it was at 12 times speed. So GD-ROM, because it was a gigabyte, so it was bigger than a regular CD, had the 12 times speed. That's why they're so loud, those laser boards. 1 times for a CD-ROM is 150 kilobytes per second. 12 times speed is 1.8 megabytes per second. For GD-ROMs, which is Tensor, the affected data transfer rate is 1.2 megabytes a second. GD-ROM stored up to 1.2 gigabytes. Use low density area, high density area. Use two areas. that it also used a constant angular velocity, CAV, just like the GameCube. Just like GameCube, Dreamcast uses constant curve that just spins at a constant rate and shores the data so it doesn't speed up or slow down. Dreamcast versus other consoles. PS1 was 2 times, PS2 was 4 times, Xbox was 5 times, and why 12 times for the Dreamcast? Data transfer, ensure the game wrote quickly. Cost and durability, keep the drive reliable and affordable. Alright, so that's some discs there. We did Sega, and then tomorrow I'll probably pick off with, we'll try original Xbox tomorrow. Alright, well, so you guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon. Alright, bye.